All right, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and we want to continue here for our Sunday school. Amen. It sure is a blessing to see those of you that are here today able to make it. We hope and pray that today's Sunday school message will be a blessing to you. Forgive me as I try my best to catch up here on some minor adjustments that we need to make. There we go. All right, everybody. So with that said, would you do me a favor, folks? Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. Luke, chapter number 17. And today's Sunday school topic, we just want to talk about a simple but yet powerful truth, friendly reminder concerning forgiveness. And I hope that this Sunday school message will be a blessing to you today as we consider from the Word of God how the Lord expects for us to process our emotions, carry our emotions, and also how to respond to those around us that do us wrong, fail us. I know that the topic of forgiveness is something that is very powerful. I know a lot of Christian churches all around the world often speak of forgiveness. You're going to hear about forgiveness being in your marriage seminars. You're going to hear about forgiveness being in youth conferences and stuff like that. And so today we want to discuss that and show you from the Bible from a little word of encouragement of how the disciples were having a trouble with this. The disciples were having a difficult time about this, how to respond to people. And what I call it often when it happens to us is disciple syndrome, because we are still mere men. We're mortal. We have a body of sin that is within our mortal bodies that influences our spirit, which is our emotions, and it gets the best of all of us. I'm Brother Mode. Y'all already know I'm going to raise my hand all the time. But when I come back to the Bible as the source of my authority to govern my mind and govern my flesh and govern my feelings, my master so kindly reminds me, this is how I want you to do that. This is how I want you to respond. And so with that said, Luke chapter 17, if you can turn in your Bibles here with me, the title of today's message is How Many Times Should I Forgive? How many times should I forgive? So with that said, would you join me now as we read together Luke 17, verse number 1. All right, let's go ahead and read the verses and then we'll pray. The Bible says, Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Right off the bat, Jesus states, offenses will come. There is no escaping while you're on the earth concerning offenses. Either they will come through you or they will come unto you. But just know, he never tells any one of his disciples or any one of his followers before or after the cross, following me is going to fix your problems. Following me is going to mean nobody's going to affect you anymore. Satan's not going to attack anymore. No, as a matter of fact, they're going to come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck when he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, starting a little late here for the Sunday school, God, but I pray that you would please have all the control, have all the authority from the word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help me to clearly communicate this topic today on forgiveness as it is working within my heart, as it is working on my heart. And as I speak, God, your spirit is continuously sanctifying me and renewing the spirit of my mind on how I need to love and forgive others, even when they come against me within the same day, two times, three times, four times. Lord, would you teach me and teach our church today as we consider how we all respond to these type of individuals within our lives. And may we be edified from the Sunday school lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at what they responded with in verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. That's a very good response, amen. Unlike a lot of other times where the apostles, like Peter, would say, Lord, I ain't gonna deny you, right? I am down for you. I'm gonna follow you to the end. Unlike everybody else, I won't leave. But we know that Peter denied him. Unlike all the other apostles that agreed with Peter, saying, we're not leaving, we're going to stay faithful. As a matter of fact, Jesus, we will go to jail for you. What happened at the end, church? They all fled. They all fled. So when I say disciple syndrome, it gets the best of us all the time, because here we have Jesus Christ. He is the standard. He's God. And then we have us. We have human beings on the other side of the relationship between us and God. And we have a body of sin within our mortal bodies that is going to influence our spirit, processing our emotions. And sometimes those emotions get the best of all of us. And just like the apostle said, that's a definite good prayer example for us to follow. Lord, would you increase my faith on doing what you just told me to do? Let's read back through these verses, number 3. Take heed to yourselves. Notice the attention is to you, the individual. Before the other brother, before the other person next to you, before the person in front of you and back of you, wait a second. You. This is now the master talking to you. If you could, try your best to narrow this between you and the Lord, you and the Bible. I know we're in church. I know we're in a pew. I know we're in a physical building. But if you will, in the theater of your heart, if you will, the altar of your heart, just imagine you and Jesus talking by yourselves one-on-one right now. And he says, notice he's talking to the individual, you. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Of course, nothing wrong with calling out a fault. Nothing wrong with calling out an error. Nothing wrong with calling out something that they did to you that caused an offense to you. That's okay. That's okay. Nothing wrong with saying, hey, friend, this is you came off like this. You did this. It caused me a little weariness, if you will, an offense to me. But can we talk about it? Let me share with you. Nothing wrong. But now watch this. Before you put in your expectations, that's the point, because this is not you on your standard. This is you and the Lord now. Look at what he says. If he repent, forgive him. Notice that. Forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, so he does it again. She does it again. He does it 2 more times. She does it 2 more times. 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, because it's you now, saying, I repent. What did the Lord say? Thou shalt forgive him. Real difficult. I'm Brother Moat. I'm telling you, just recently, there are certain things that have been taking place in my life, and I'm like, man, here's my expectations. Here's where this individual came short of this expectation, and yet, other things go, across my mind. But I know the word of God. That's my problem, brother. I already know what he says. And because I know what he says, it's not a problem on how I should respond to this individual. It's not a problem of why I should respond to this individual, because it's the command, right? It's my lack of faith, church, to do what he told me to do. I find myself asking the Lord, just like the apostles, Lord, would you increase my faith to obey what you just told me to do, which is forgive that brother if he comes back to me within the same day, messing up, and he says, Brother Carlos, can you forgive me? My master said, you should forgive him. Wow. Now let's keep reading the story. He doesn't stop there. Let's keep hearing our master teach us concerning this thing now in the context of Luke 17. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. How many of you guys have ever seen mustard seed? That thing is small. Oh my gosh. I just need a little bit of faith, guys. That's how messed up I am in this wretched flesh. Paul, remember what he said in Romans 7? This wretched man that I am, while I am still in this body and I'm fighting the body of sin in the mortal body, man, I can't even have just a little seed of faith. Why? Because sin gets the best of me. Pride gets the best of me. So here's what the master says. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I want you to focus on this real quick. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you had the volume of faith that little seed carries within its existence, the mass that it has with all the molecules that make up that seed, and obviously we know the outcome once you plant that mustard seed, it becomes a beautiful tree. Here's what he said. If you had that faith, keep that in the back of your mind, because remember, he's talking to you as the individual. Ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. We don't have the authority to just uproot trees, you know, and then just throw them all over the oceans. That would be supernatural, crazy stuff all over the planet right now. Obviously, it'll be a viral video if Christians all of a sudden had power from God to just start plucking up trees, right, and throwing them all. No, that's not what he's talking about. Remember the context. Forgiveness. My brother coming against me 7 times in a day. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Hey, if you had just that little bit of faith, you could be able to tell that thing, because it's beginning to root, pluck it up, cast it out there, it should obey you. But do you have that faith today, church? Do I have that faith? Verse number 7, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle. So now he's going to change the direction now, okay? Now he's assuming that you have a little bit of money. He's assuming within the story that he's going to give you, if you will, an analogy. You have servants under. You have people following your command. Hence, that's what the servant does. You are in a position of power. Let's just say for sake of terms today, you are the employer. And he says, you're having a servant plowing or feeding cattle. Will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. So while they're out there tending to your flock, if you will, while they're out there tending to your agriculture, because they're your servant, remember, you're the boss, which of you is going to say, hey, all right, friend, servant one, servant two, you know, whatever their names are, come on and eat. And will not rather say unto him, make greater wherewith I may sup, because you're the master. As a matter of fact, hey, friend, stop what you're doing. Come over here, man. I'm hungry. I need you to get my food ready. Gird thyself, you know, put on your apron and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Because usually that's what the master has. The master has the authority over the servant. That servant is going to carry out the command or demands or the wishes of the one who is charged, right? We as a servant, we have no right to question our master. Hey, master, no, I need to finish this. If the master says, Carlos, come, I'm ready to eat. I need you to feed me. Yes, sir. I'm going to drop the pail here, drop the corn husks, drop the seeds, and I'm going to go obey my master because he's telling me what to do. Keep that in the back of your mind. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. What does that mean? I don't think so. That servant, he obeyed the master's command because that's his job. That servant does not have an excuse to question the master why the master wants him to do what he does, when he wants him to do it, at every time he tells him to do it. As a matter of fact, that's his job. The master doesn't have to say, thank you, servant, for feeding me. No, son, that's your job. Son, come over here. Daughter, come over here. Watch this. Again, context. Look at verse 10. So likewise. So again, remember, when you're reading the Bible, the Lord will use a lot of analogies, a lot of stories to give you a truth, right? So just like that, now he's talking back to the disciples. And remember, as I said earlier, imagine just you and the Lord right now in the altar of your heart, nobody else around, just me and the Lord. You're just kind of sitting in a chair in the back of your mind. Just remember, if you will, a theater in there. I'm listening to my master. He's telling me now. So just like that story, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. How about a humility check? We have done that which was our duty to do. So much for self-esteem. So much for, you know, all about me and my feelings. And no, wait a second. You know what the Lord just told these disciples? Let's go back. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If you repent, forgive him. Why? You're unprofitable. I'm unprofitable. Who am I? I'm not the master. You're not the master. We're not God. You're not God. We are all sinners. We're all brethren. If we put our faith and trust in Christ, he's the master. Remember, he's the head of the church. We are members one of another, and the Bible tells us how we ought to have care one for another and love one another and bear one another's burden. So here comes your brother who's unprofitable, and here's your feelings, unprofitable, and you're complaining, and you're straining the gnat at each other because of something like this. And here's the problem while you're out in the field, while you're laboring, and he's up there, he's the master. He already told us what we need to be doing with those things, but he comes to you and he says, friend, can you please forgive me? Because you talked to him about it. You said, you know, my feelings, right? Yes, I understand, brother. They think, okay, forgive me. All right. They do it again. Your master said, forgive him. Your master said, forgive me. If he comes back to you 7 times in the same day for the same thing, but you say, well, they haven't necessarily change your mind because I don't see evidence of a sincerity. It's not for them, it's for you. Even though the other person may have to take time to demonstrate change in their life, the master is not concerned about them. The master is concerned about your heart. You better forgive him. Because remember, this is you and the master. He's working on you. I understand how times we all get I'm Brother Mo this week. I won't share the details. Amen. I'm just speaking in generals here. And here's an individual's expectation. They kind of come a little short, right? Because again, they still failed that thing. And, you know, as they hold me accountable, okay? And because I don't see the evidence of growth, because I can easily hold this individual accountable to their own expectations, here is the master telling me, thou shalt forgive him. Did any of these disciples say, but Jesus, they really haven't shown change. They haven't shown repentance. They haven't shown sincerity. It hasn't even hit 5 o'clock, Jesus. And he's already done it like 5 times. The master said, don't you remember? When I tell you to do something, you do it. You remind yourself, son, you remind yourself, daughter, you're doing what is commanded you to do. You're unprofitable. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your concern. It's about what me, the master, is telling you to do. You need to do it. It sounds a little unique, I know. It sounds a little harsh, perhaps, but it's working on us, the individual, our feelings. Luke chapter 6. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Let's go down to verse number 31, and then we'll go to the book of Matthew. Luke 6, verse 31. I think it's easy for me to assume with our crowd today that it's easier to be kind to those that are kind to us. I think that's fair. It's easier for me to be happy and kind to them that are happy and kind to me. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you straight up. There are times when certain of the brethren, again, lacking here, and I don't see that coming out to me as much as I, you know, pour out to them, and she'll tell you, I'm good, you know. I'm just not going to do it anymore because X, Y, Z, you understand it. It's easier for me to demonstrate love to them that I'm getting it back from. And God knows that about a lot of us. It's natural for us to do that. But now we're servants. He's the master because I'm putting my faith in him. The Bible is the authority. He's my God. It's no longer my feelings or Satan or false religion or science and all that stuff. Watch this. Verse 31. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. When you trespass against them, you would want them to forgive you, just like you expect for them to forgive you, vice versa. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. When my wife and I drive throughout town, we see those drug addicts and those homeless guys caring for each other, even in the state of their lost sin. And then there are Christians that can't get along. There's no profit. Like what he says, 33. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. You don't even have to be saved. People still do good to each other. People get over certain things that get the best of them. That's just what people do. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. And that's when Jesus corrects my heart, Brother Carlos, son, you keep doing good. You don't have to wait until you get something in return. Yes, Master. I'll keep helping out that church the best I can. I'll keep being a blessing to these brethren over here the best I can, Lord, because it's not about what I hope to expect from them in return. It's about me being an obedient servant because you're the Master. You see how the Lord works on my heart, and he works on your heart to get you in a perspective. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. Don't worry. And your reward shall be great, and ye should be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That is your God right now to every human on this earth, saved or unsaved. Chinese, it doesn't matter what ethnicity they might be. Almighty God in heaven is still a merciful and kind God to even the worst of sinners. But he did this to me, Lord. What is your command, son? Forgive him. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Two more places. Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. Let's go together to verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? First of all, look who he's talking to. He's talking to the Lord. Till 7 times? You know, Lord, just this kind of cultural standard we have around here as Hebrews in this time frame, you know, 7 times, that's the cutoff because, you know, that one rabbi, well, that one pastor said, it's okay if we just do it like this. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times. So Peter, yeah, your local culture, you know, the way you grew up, that's not how we're going to do it. But until 70 times 7, what's the point? Perpetual forgiveness. If that brother comes back to you, what did he tell you in Luke? Forgive him. Again, forgive him. Again, forgiven. And one more, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. How much the more now, as saved Christians, as saved brethren, as saved members of the body of Christ, we have no excuse. If the Lord expected these of his disciples before the cross of Calvary, how much the more now, since we have the Holy Spirit within our hearts? Look at what the Bible says here. Ephesians 4, verse number 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So again, nothing wrong with telling the brother, hey, sister, that thing, you know, it hurt my feelings. It caused an offense to me. Let me tell you why. They may be mature. They may be immature. That's fine. But at least you're speaking the truth. If it's biblical, we're not talking about just things that offend you for everything. We're talking about Bible reasonings here. Nothing wrong with speaking the truth, but just don't forget, we are members one of another. Don't forget, they're not your enemy. They are part of the body. Look at verse 26, be angry and sin not. Can we do that? Is it possible to have a position of anger without sinning against God? According to the Bible, it's possible. But again, I'm Brother Moat. Lord, I need you to increase my faith because I can't do that all the time. I can't be angry without sinning against you or the brethren because there's pride in here. So what does he tell you? Get a hold of that thing. Don't sin against me and don't sin against your brethren. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And that's a good verse for marriage couples here today. Amen. And just general brethren, before the day ends, try to have peace with a brother or sister before the day ends. Neither give place to the devil. Now you know who's in the midst, spiritually speaking, who may be causing that within your life. Let him that stole sin no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. But let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit is in there. He knows it all. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So what's the end of this morning's little meal? Just a little meal. No matter how many times in a day, somebody may cause an offense. Doesn't matter what the offense. Remember, it's okay. Speak truth. If you can point it out scripturally, this is why. Nothing wrong. Because you care enough for them to tell them the truth. Okay. They respond to you. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. You're right. They do it again. I'm sorry. I did it again. You're commanded as the master servant position. Forgive. After the cross, all of us now, generally speaking, God the Father has forgiven us of all our sins. So if we claim to be a Christian, we are representing the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, he is kind to who? The evil and to the unthankful. As a child of God the Father, through faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, I am expected now to express the kindness of God, the tender mercies of God, and the compassion. Remember Friday night studies, the humility, if you will, the slow to anger. I am expected now to do my best to reflect that when I'm dealing with members, not just the unbeliever, but even members of the body of Christ. So as we all respond to this in faith, let's just ask God, increase my faith, because I know it's impossible for us not to have offenses because they're going to come, he said. But between me and him as an individual basis, remember, I'm the servant, he's the master. He already told me how I need to respond. I need to forgive that person. I need to get a hold of the sin that's in me because the devil can be in the midst of that thing and he can try to sway me to be angry and malicious and clamorous and evil in my speech. But remember, God told you already who could help you with that. He told you who's going to influence you with that. So now let's be more wary and cautious. And in the end of the day, because God has forgiven you of all your sins, for Jesus Christ and what he went through on the cross for you, now he's reminding us you can be a little bit more passionate, compassionate. You can be a little bit more merciful. You can be a little bit more patient, a little bit more long-suffering, because look at what he went through for you. Every day when we sin against Jesus, you know what he's ready to do? Forgive. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, what is it? Oh, sorry. Let me just read this last one, and we'll end real quick because I forgot how this verse goes, but it's powerful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter how many times in the day we sin against our Savior, he is ready right now to keep forgiving me. How many times the brothers mess up on me, I should be able to forgive them too. Amen. Questions, comments, for close? Good. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this Sunday school message. Hope it blessed our hearts this afternoon, Lord. Help us to get ready for the Sunday service. We pray for those that may be on their way, Lord. Hopefully new visitors from yesterday's outreach, God. We will thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. We'll take a 15-minute break. Amen.